The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. We are about to celebrate a birthday. And there's a birthday coming up, and it's the 99th birthday of Woody Guthrie. Now, some of you all out there know who Woody Guthrie is, and some may not know who Woody Guthrie is. But he was one of the great singers in this country, folk singers, radicals who fought for the people's rights, grew up in Oklahoma, and was a father of Arlo Guthrie, who was a singer of note, was friends of the great blues singer Leadbelly. He lived in his apartment in Greenwich Village in Cisco, Houston. They formed this crew that caused a lot of trouble, made a lot of music. Thousands of songs were written, songs you know that are part of America, like This Land Is Your Land. It was written by Woody Guthrie. And they fought for human rights and rights of the poor and made this incredible music. July 16th will be his 99th birthday. So that means next year we have to do something big for his 100th birthday. But Woody, there'll be a celebration at the Creative Alliance, which is why Meekin Hamilton is here.
Yeah.
Who's one of the co-founders and co-directors of the Creative Alliance on the east side. That'll be July 16th. Caleb Stein is here in the studio with us, and Caleb has his own band called the...
The Brakemen.
The Brakemen, that's right. How could I forget that? Caleb Stein, the Brakemen.
There we go.
And he has performed many times there at the Creative Alliance and many other places. And we'll be playing Cisco, Houston. We'll talk a bit about that. And he'll be there. And joining us by phone is Michael Patrick Flanagan Smith. A lot of names there. But
his
Woody Guthrie Dreams production play, which had a run here.
Yeah.
At the Creative Lions.
Premiered as Woody Guthrie Dreams Before Dying in March 2004. Sold out two nights at the Patterson and just totally, totally blew everybody away.
And it's going to New York to open at the Theater for the New City for a month's run. And so we're talking about all that today here in preparation for the July 16th celebration, which we want you all to join us for at the Creative Lions. And Caleb, Megan, Mike, welcome. Good to have you in the studio.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks
great
for having me.
So let's start backwards, Mike, and start with you and talk about how this Woody Guthrie Dreams, this play, came about. Let's start there.
Yeah, I was sort of looking around. My background is in theater, and I love music, and I was looking around for my next project, and this was in, 2002. I read Bound for Glory, which is Woody's sort of fictional autobiography.
All the autobiographies are fictional to one degree or another.
This one maybe even more than others. And I thought, oh, that's a pretty good book. And then, I just started digging a little deeper. And I was also, I listened to the Billy Bragg and Wilco did an album of Woody Guthrie's songs that he never recorded. And the breadth of that material, I know, really attracted me. It was a lot of stuff that was about, UFOs and movie stars and all these subjects that you don't necessarily associate with Woody Guthrie. So from there, I visited the Guthrie Archives, which is run by Woody's daughter, Nora, and did a good bit of research just looking at his... unreleased songs and books. He wrote plays. He wrote novels. He wrote very long letters. So I just kind of started to dig into it. From there, I ended up speaking to more and more people. I talked to Pete Seeger and got really, kind of caught up in the research of it. And then the show at the Creative Alliance came about because I'd been telling Meekin Hamilton about the show for... I guess a year or so. and I was a little bit at a standstill. The problem with once you start digging into something and getting into the research is that it can be overwhelming, and it can be hard to figure out what the story is that you want to tell. So I wasn't sure about it, and Meekin said, "Well, how about we book you for next spring?" And I said, "All right, I guess I'll finish the play." this winter.
Or else.
So you did.
So that's how we got our first run.
So now, and the play is a lot of music. The play is the story of Woody and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The sort of the central question for the play, something about Woody that people don't necessarily know. He was in the hospital with Huntington's disease.
Right.
For the last 14 years of his life, and so he there's literally a decade where he couldn't really sing or talk or, you know, or anything. And part of the idea, kind of the question that became the seed for the play, was what happens to this man of action, this guy who's traveled across the world, who's agitated, who's, you know, worked for civil rights, who's done all this stuff. What happens to that person when they're confined to a bed? And the idea for me is that he dreams. And so the play then sort of takes him, he's in this dream state, and it sort of takes him back through different parts of his life and through it. You know, I tried to center a lot on his creative process, like how he writes songs. There's all the usual sort of trappings of biographical films and plays that make them irritating to watch. And so I wanted the play to be a lot about his ideas. And that's something that the dream format really helped with a lot, because Jesus Christ is a character in the play, and Joseph Stalin is another character. And so they show up as these dream figures that he has these dialogues with that I think flesh out some of the ideas that he was going for.
Right, because he went for those different poles, politically, yeah, spiritually, and every other way.
Sure, and he changed a lot throughout his life, you know, yeah.
He did change a lot throughout his life.
I think so.
I think a lot.
Yeah, and his ideas changed, which is what happens, right? He's not really this saint figure, which is one of the things.
A saint would not be the first word to come to my mind,
yeah,
when I think of Woody Guthrie.
Yeah.
Right.
No, he's very human.
Yeah.
I think one of the most compelling parts about it is, you know, Mike is using his own language to sort of channel Woody, which is kind of a gutsy thing, and I think the play really pulls it off. And I think the relationship between Marjorie and Woody and the interlude where Woody really profoundly falls in love with this woman, the language that Mike's put together.
His second wife, who was the father or the mother of Arlo and Arlo Guthrie and Nora Guthrie. Mm-hmm.
The scene Dave, where he, you know, courts her, and the scenes where they're trying to balance, you know, Woody's drinking and writing and traveling with, you know, raising kids and stuff are really, really compelling. And there's a lot of music in the play, but we should be really clear, it's not a musical. It's a, you know, you get a really clear sense about Woody's issues and his life and the main players in his life, and they do sort of float in and out in these dream states, and sometimes one actor will play, you know, Jesus and another character. But it's a beautifully, really beautifully written thing that I think really captures Woody's spirit and even his language without being literal about it.
So on the 16th at the Creative Alliance, you're going to do the play?
No. And we should clarify, the thing on the 16th, we hope everybody will come.
16th
of
July we're talking about.
Right.
Saturday night.
Saturday night is a benefit for the production. We're trying to raise money to mount this thing in New York. From where the Creative Alliance is sitting, you know, we have a lot vested with this production. We feel like it's an astonishing piece. It has deep Baltimore roots beyond Caleb. It's being produced by Sarah Seeley, who's also has deep roots in Baltimore, a talented dancer and choreographer. There's other members of the cast from Maryland. If this play really gets traction on the Lower East Side and moves up the island, it just could have really profound and wonderful effects for the whole scene in Baltimore. It's going to reflect super well on the music scene here in Baltimore. It's going to reflect super well on the theater scene. So we're whole full hog behind it. And the event on Saturday night, which is going to have a lot of great music from the production, Woody's music, also songs that Cisco didn't write but that he sang. Caleb's been channeling Cisco deep. And we have some great guest artists, Linda Nelson, Bob Friedman, maybe Mark Steiner. All these cool people are going to be there. So we'll be doing music and then some readings and really letting people know about the production. I mean, our intent is to really get a major road trip to the Lower East Side for a Saturday night during the run and just really show Manhattan how much we care about our people in Baltimore. So it's a very big deal. We're really excited about it.
So 16th of July here at the Creative Alliance, Saturday night. And when does it open in New York, Mike?
We open on September 8th. Run Thursday through Sunday the whole month until October 1st.
At the Theater for the New City.
Yep.
Now, I don't know, can we actually get some music doing here? I don't know, because it's tight quarters.
Mike, I can move.
Mike's not here.
I'm always ready to move.
And Mike's not here to play and sing, but...
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted...
Caleb, you should do it.
If you wanted a song as like an outro piece or something, I mean,
We don't have to. We don't have to leave the studio just yet. You can hang out a little while, but you can.
Okay.
We're not going to kick you out just yet.
I could sing across the phone. We could.
You
do
could
it.
Do that. Let's try it, man. You know, we're game for anything here in the Steiner Show. We've done many weird things over the last 18 years.
What we need on Caleb's new shiny black guitar is that sticker Mike has in his guitar for the play that says, "This machine kills fascists."
Yes, that was what Woody had on his guitar.
Yep.
Well, I ain't got no home, no, I'm just a rambling round. Just a wandering worker, and I go from town to town. The police make it hard, Lord, wherever I may go. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. Yes, and as I roam around, oh, it's mighty plain to see. This old wicked world, well, it's a funny place to be. 'Cause the gambling man gets rich and the working man is poor. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore.
Beautiful song. I forgot how good you were, Kelly. It's been a while since I've seen you play.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's one of his songs, and he's, Woody Guthrie was, I mean, he was a very complex guy, you know? I mean,
yeah.
he came from the family of a crazy mom, absolutely, the original Nora.
Yeah.
Burned up houses, burned up people. You know, and he just became a fighter for the working people in this country and just, you know, live from place to place, and he could be a kind of guy who would, Woody Guthrie was the kind of guy who would, if he went out and painted his sign, he always had these paintbrushes in his back pocket and go across the country, and if he was rambling and, you know, he liked to hitchhike, he didn't like taking trains, didn't like running hobo trains, and he would just get to a place, if he had any money, he would work as a dishwasher, or he would paint a sign, and no matter how little money he had, he would give it all away to somebody who had less. You know, he was a... And he loved Marjorie, but he just couldn't keep in his pants. The boy was just, you know,
He had, there was such a childlike thing about him, and he was, to an extent, you know, an anti-materialist. He didn't want to own anything. So he would give everything away. And, you know, that's kind of hard to deal with, I think, if you're friends with that guy. You know,
or God forbid, married to him.
Right.
Oh, God forbid, married to him. Exactly.
Mike, you went out to Okemah, didn't you? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I did. I went to Okemah, Oklahoma, and it was interesting because it wasn't even. It was maybe in 2004, but I talked to a librarian there, and you know, she mentioned or alluded to how the town was pretty unhappy with him, and but that things were kind of starting to thaw out, basically because of his communist sympathies, and I thought that was pretty remarkable that it's, you know, in the 2000s, and there's still these sort of grudges against a guy who was a communist in the 50s.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it was surprising to me, but
yeah, I mean Oklahoma. I mean, so this has really been part, Mike, for you. This has been, this has wrapped up your life. I mean, this is where, this is what you've which you've embedded in your and then become and embodied.
Yeah, it's been it's an interesting thing, and I don't know that it was necessarily what I planned on, but it's my adult life has really had a lot to do with this project and with Woody, and with Woody Guthrie's life, and it's there's something I think about picking models for yourself and just looking at the people who came before and like who you think. Warts and all, really got something done or really had a sort of statement to make. And so in some ways it's kind of been a sounding board for me. And in other ways, I've thought about it every day for the past 10 years and I've done a lot of other stuff and worked to kind of develop my own voice, but I just find I'd keep coming back to it and, end up at a different location or end up with a chance to talk to somebody else who knew Woody. And, all of a sudden different things that he wrote would kind of pop up and make more sense to me. And there's just so much there, And, I mean, with the play, something Megan was saying as far as the writing of it. And, Woody's not quoted. There's no use of his exact words outside of the songs. But... for me, I guess the thing that trying to tap into is that Woody's, more than his personality and more than anybody's personality, it's kind of what do people do, and what sort of muse do they follow and what kind of world do they serve? And I think that was a real big thing with Woody, man. I mean, he served some really big ideas.
Yes, he did.
And he served them selflessly. And I think that's with this play and doing this play is a good reminder for me in my day to day life. But I think that the idea behind the play is to serve that same kind of thing. And whenever we've tapped into that, it's been really just such a powerful experience, and so it's just kind of trying to keep doing that.
I think also, I know Mike, when you one of the things Mike was thinking about when he went to New York was whether he could get this production up. And it took a while, didn't it, brother?
Yeah, it did. A lot of meetings, a lot of phone calls,
So it's been like, what, 5 years or something?
Yeah, it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
But it's gone down to Lower East Side at the Theater for the New City. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
For a month run in New York City.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge accomplishment for Mike.
It is. So, before this play goes up to New York, clearly we're going to have this celebration on the 16th of July.
Right.
Which is Woody Guthrie's 99th birthday.
I don't know. When is his birthday exactly,
well,
Mike?
Well, his actual birthday is July 14th.
14th. Oh, you're right. That's
close.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're doing an event up here in New York that day and then coming down for the Baltimore one on the 16th.
Very cool. So the July 14th and July 16th is the celebration at the Creative Alliance. And you'll be there, Michael Patrick Flanagan-Smith, who's going to be taking the production to New York. So, again, we talked about this a little earlier, but what are you going to do there? What are you going to do there, Michael?
At the
Creative Alliance.
Yeah, at the Alliance.
Well, we're going to play a bunch of Woody songs. Caleb and I have gotten together and, we've been working on the songs from the play and then actually branched out and have been doing a bunch of other of those tunes. We just cut a record a couple weeks ago, right, Caleb?
You and Caleb cut a record?
Yeah, we're doing a Woody and Cisco record. So that
who's Woody? Who's Cisco?
Well, I'm Cisco.
So that makes the short, skinny white guy Woody.
Yeah. That would be you, Mike. Gotcha.
Yeah. So we recorded some tunes, and we're going to try to have something for the run, the play. But I think we're thinking of this as a big celebration of Woody, of these ideas that we're talking about, of this spirit of including social justice and talking about reality in folk song. And we're getting a bunch of great folks there to sing, Linda Nelson, Dave Huber, Bob Friedman, and we've got some other guests that we're hoping to hook in, we've got a bunch of readings. So it's just going to be sort of a celebration of Woody's life, talking about these readings, talking about the songs. And also I should mention, we're encouraging folks to bring their instruments because after the show, we're going to have a big hootenanny. We're going to hang out in the Creative Alliance
that's
bar.
That's a word I haven't heard
in our
a long
new
time.
Fab
and,
bar.
And we're going to, we're going to have a bunch of guitars and hopefully some fiddles and banjos, and we're going to sit around and play a bunch of songs and drink some beer.
I think that's one of Caleb's big gifts is the man likes to see people sing. You know, he's forever getting these sing-alongs going. And we have this new bar at the Creative Alliance that's crazy good-looking, has a beautiful mural and big white marble bar.
You got food there yet?
Not yet, but Matthews is always across the street.
There you go.
You can bring the Matthews pizzas across the street into the bar?
Yeah.
All right, just
check. Doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
Matthews has great pizza.
So
you have the great taco joint just down the street. What's the name of the taco place down the street from the Creative Alliance?
Oh, Taco del El Sabor de Parque. Oh,
those are so good.
That is the best.
Bring those down. Okay, I'm sorry. Back to the subject here.
But I think...
another thing that I think will be real fun is, I mean, the readings should be really cool, too. Woody wrote so much that's not, that's not... Some of his stuff is sort of corn-pone humor. And these Dust Bowl stories, but what he's written, I mean, there's so much great material, so it's really cool to dive into that and to hear those words out loud because they definitely sing.
I think also when you see the play, I mean, one of the reasons that I'm really excited about the play getting an identity and getting out there is there, you know, like Mark, like you were saying at the intro, like there's some younger people that don't really.
Right.
You know, he's maybe a name, but he's not much more than that. And to see the level of his activism and his commitment and his vision that music is not just a pretend tool for social change, not like you're going to have a song that's got like this window dressing of, oh, I'm kind of progressive. It's more like he meant it. You know, this machine kills fascists. And the level of his commitment to the social causes, Mike does this kind of amazing job of synthesizing Woody's life, not so much that you get every bit of a chronology. I mean, you get the key chronology, the key biographical points, but you get a sense of the level of commitment and his involvement with unionism and his involvement with civil rights and driving back and forth across country and not letting up on these issues. And I think I heard a really great intro to a bunch of Woody songs, and some guy was talking about how up until Woody... You know, music was about 97 varieties of love songs, you know. And then after Woody, you just open up everything else. Mm-hmm. And
It's true.
So, you know, I just wanted to let everybody know that there's a team forming around this production. We had a really cool house concert at Caleb's house a while back and raised some money. We're looking for other people that are really interested. The production under Sarah Seeley's direction, it's producer, which she's got to have the best legs of any producer in the business. That's not to sound too sexist. But anyway, the production has a 501c3 status through the Field umbrella, and you can go to thefield.org and make a tax-deductible contribution. We're going to have plenty of ways to give at the event on Saturday, the 16th of July. And we'll be publicizing a road trip to New York to take Woody by storm date. So if anybody, you know, is really interested in seeing Woody's legacy really grow young, you know, and grow new and inform new people with these profound values that he had, we really feel like the play is like a great vehicle for that.
So first of all, let's get this straight. It's July 16th.
Yep.
Creative Alliance.
Yep.
At
3134 Eastern Avenue in beautiful downtown Highlandtown.
And the time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, and that'll be on our website.
Hoot Nanny to follow in the bar to go late.
To go late. Party late.
Party late.
Bring your instruments and play.
Come early. Right? Stay late.
Please.
And then it's the opening September the 8th, Michael Patrick Flanagan Smith's play, Woody Guthrie Dreams, which is what we're promoting here at the July 16th event.
That's what the July 16th event is benefiting.
To raise money for that and
absolutely.
To get this production, which is going to New York, just needs more money, and the community can surround it, just like we did the other week when Bashi Rose had his first film out, and the community came out in droves, hundreds of people. We want the same thing to happen for another Baltimore-born thing, which is this Woody Guthrie Dreams, which is taking place at the Creative Alliance. Why don't we do this, man? We have all the stuff on our website, steinershow.org. So join us there, July 16th, and it's gonna be a blast. And somebody's gonna be playing Cisco Houston. He's sitting right here, Caleb Stein, and there'll be Michael Patrick Flanagan Smith playing Woody, and somebody will probably be playing Huddy Ledbetter.
Oh yeah,
the great blues man. So all that'll be there.
Good night, Irene.
Good night. Oh, that's one of the great songs of all time,
isn't it? Oh my gosh,
great song of all
time. And these guys rip it up with the music. And we'll look forward to you joining us, Mark.
Oh, yeah. You know, my little girl Maisie will be here. She's not so little anymore, but she'll be here. And if she says we can stay in town, well, I'll be there. If not, she says we got to go, Dad, to the beach in New York, then that's what we got to do, because we got to do something. But we're going to try to be there. why don't you leave us with something?
Yeah, Caleb.
Cool. Caleb Stein.
All right. Let's do... Well, the world has seven wonders, all the travelers always tell. It's some gardens and some towers, I guess you know them well. But now the greatest wonder isn't Uncle Sam's fair land. She's the King Columbia River and the great Grand Coulee Dam. Heads up the Canadian Rockies where the crystal waters glide. Comes a tumbling down the canyons for to meet that salty tide. Of the wide Pacific Ocean where the sun sets in the west, it's the big Grand Coulee country and the land I love the best. Well, Uncle Sam took up the challenge in the year of 33 for the farmers and the factories and all of you and me. He said, roll along Columbia, you can ramble to the sea. But while you're a ramblin', won't you do some work for me? Now in Washington and Oregon, you can hear the factories hum. Making chrome and making manganese and light aluminum. And there rolls a flying fortress fortified for Uncle Sam, spawned upon the King Columbia by the big Grand Coulee Dam. She heads up the Canadian Rockies where the crystal waters glide. Comes a tumbling down the canyon for to meet that salty tide. Of the wide Pacific Ocean where the sun sets in the west, it's the big Grand Coulee country and the land I love the best.
All right.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. July 16th, 8 p.m., the Creative Alliance.
Yeah, be there.
Be there.
Going to be a blast. Going to be a hootenanny.
It'll be all there on the on our website. Caleb Stein, thanks for coming in the studio.
Thanks,
Mark.
Great to
see you once again, man.
Great to see you. Yeah.
Francisco Houston and Michael Patrick Flanagan Smith, who put together Woody Guthrie's Dreams, going to New York on September the 8th. We'll be there on July 16th as well. Mike, thanks for joining us by phone today, too.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, see you all on the 16th.
Cool.
All right.
Great. Rock and roll.
Thanks.
Ciao.
This broadcast of the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Associated Black Charities. Associated Black Charities is a proud sponsor of the Black Male Identity Project. More information, www.morethan28days.com. That's MOREthan28days.com.